begin with our legal statement. The Chair and General Manager of Willmar Municipal Utilities Commission and our Chief Legal Counsel have determined under Minnesota Statute 13D.021 that in-person meetings of the Municipal Utilities Commission are not practical or prudent due to the COVID-19 health pandemic and the peacetime emergency declared by Governor Walz pursuant to Minnesota Statutes Chapter 12, and that our meetings, including this meeting, shall therefore be conducted by telephone or other electronics pursuant to Minnesota Statute 13D.021 until such time as it is no longer impractical or imprudent for this commission to resume in-person meetings. And we'll start out today's agenda. We do have a new staff individual on board with us, Ms. Andrea Precker. She's our finance and office services supervisor, the new position. I guess we made some title changes here. I think our last meeting we had approved that. So Andrea, looks like you're with us. I want to say welcome and maybe give you an opportunity just to give a real brief background about yourself.
Sure. So I live on a hobby farm with my family, and most recently was working at Conway, Duth & Schmiesing as a government auditor. And prior to that, I was at Renville County Human Services as the office services and accounting supervisor for human services. So,
excellent. Well, welcome on board. You'll be a great asset. We look forward to working with you as well. All right. Does anybody have any changes to our agenda today? If not, I'd move into our consent agenda, which consists of minutes from our June 22nd meeting, as well as bill payments in the amount of $430,000+. And I would look for a resolution for approval of the consent agenda.
So moved, Zach.
Second.
All right, we have a motion from Commissioner Maboub and a second from Commissioner Weber. General Manager Heron, anything on the bill payments you want to point out today?
Thank you, Chair Matter. No, I do not. The highlighted in yellow, again, are capital projects. Other than that, everything's pretty straightforward, so I do not have anything additional to add or point out unless there's questions. More than happy to answer.
Any questions on bill payments or any discussion on the resolution? All right, giving everyone an opportunity here. I'm not seeing any movement or hearing anything. So, Ms. Mathiason, if you could take roll call, please.
Aye. Commissioner Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Maboub?
Aye.
Thank you.
That resolution carries. Thank you. All right, next on the agenda, we have our monthly financial reports, and General Manager Heron, I'll let you kind of kick this one off for us.
All right, thank you, Chair Mattern. First division is our electric division. We are $1.6 million under budget from what we anticipated. However, we're $684,000 under last year. The good news to all of that is on our expense side, we are $3.5 million under budget. We are $1.3 million under last year. So that leaves us with positive retained earnings of $2.3 million over our budget and $630,000 in retained earnings over last year. On the water division, we are sitting at $203,000 under budget. We are $98,000 over last year. The reason we're over last year would reduce sales. Again, we have a 20% rate increase over 2019, so we would anticipate to be at revenues at $1.3 million or $126,000 higher than what we actually are. However, again, on the expense side, same as electric, we're $136,000 under budget. We're $89,000 under last year. So we have retained earnings of $60,000 under budget, $185,000 over last year, which by itself sounds good, but we'd expect that to be roughly $100,000 higher at this point in time. Heating division, there again, as everybody's well aware of, our last day was here June 30th. Revenues, $137,000. So our revenues were slightly up from budget, but considerably down from last year. Expenses, we'll have some ongoing expenses, but our expenses at this point in time are under budget. But we do need, we have a fair amount of work to go yet with shutting down the district heating system, mainly heat exchangers and homes that have to come out. So retained earnings is up from what we budgeted at, but down from last year. All divisions, kind of on the same story. We're $1 million under last year from what we expected in the yellow here. And in the orange, if you want to call it that, we're $1.5 million under expenditures from last year. So that leaves us retained earnings up from last year about $648,000 between all our divisions. Again, retained earnings are used for capital projects. Capital expenditures is where our retained earnings go towards all the big bills. Move on to graphs. Okay, I had graphs loaded, or I thought I did. Anyway, graphs depict, they're loaded on your iPads. I must have missed them here when I set up. I apologize for that. However, the graphs depict what we've been talking about here, that our year-to-date, both on revenue and expenditures, are slightly under prior year. Any questions on our finances for the month?
Not hearing anything. Thank you for the update on that, Mr. Heron. The graph tab, I noticed you accidentally closed as you were trying to switch over, so that's what happened there.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Commissioners, any questions on the financials? I know sales are looking relatively respectable anyway. We just got to make sure we're able to collect on that. So that's the key there.
With that said, they're through May. Just a side note, the financials are through May. We don't have June's closed out yet. But when we look at June's, we're bouncing back quite well, both on energy and demand. So it'll be interesting to see what the numbers actually look like and how those sales carry forward into July and August. So all in all, we're not sitting too bad compared to what we were anticipating.
We'll keep our fingers crossed. That'll take us into agenda item number 5. We have an update on the COVID-19 financial impact, and I'll hand this over to Ms. Morotsky.
Thank you, Chair Mattern. Let's see. Can you go to the beginning, John? Thank you. So as in past updates, the two that we've had, a lot of data, a lot of information, so I'll just try to break it down kind of succinctly for everyone. Our late charges, excuse me. And so this is a summary of the late charges. As you know, we have not actually charged our customers late charges since the second half of February. And right now, through the first half of May, the second half would be today, and they haven't pulled those numbers yet, which I didn't expect. But we are at 16.4% higher than we were for the same time frame last year. And then looking at our past due history, again, we have some graphs, and then we just break it down by the dollars. Our 30-day is actually lower. What I want to mention about that, in this entire process, I also pull our different types of payment methods, and we do have more payments that are made with payment assistance than we did last year at the time frame that I was looking at. So people are working with agencies and getting help to make those payments. I think that is contributing to the 30 days being lower than in 2019. However, our 60 and our 90 days are getting higher, 90 days specifically. And the 90 days encompasses anything that is 90 days and over. So it could be 120 or more than that. We did mention at the last update that that was something we were expecting to see continuing a trend. I am actually going to turn this sheet over to Mr. Smith if you would have a moment to just go through it again.
Yep. Thanks, Michelle. Commissioners, this table on the left is what you've seen in the past, and it's just to establish a historic trend. So that top row is January through March 14th, the pre-COVID time period for the last 6 years. Our average load is 34.3%. If we just look at the year 2019 for that pre-COVID time period, we're at 34.3 megawatts for our average load. And then if we look at this year, we're only at 32.4 megawatts for the average load. So pre-COVID, we were trending 5.5% lower than the six-year average. If you look at the table on the right, the top row is the COVID time period, or March 15th through June 30th of the last 6 years. We've got a reference of 31.6 megawatts. If we just look at 2019 for that time period, our reference is 30.8 megawatts, so slightly lower last year than our six-year average. And then the number we're all interested in is just the 2020 COVID time period, which is at 29.7 average load or megawatts. You can see that's slightly lower than our six-year average, slightly lower than our 2019 average. But it's pretty close, and it's significantly improved from the last time reported. I think it was about 9.5% or somewhere around that we were under our historic average, and right now we're only 6% lower than the historic average, and we started out 5.5% lower. So based on this information, we see about a 0.5% reduction in load that we could contribute to COVID-19. But I think, you know, my gut says that our load is slightly down. However, the temperatures are slightly up. So those two are offsetting each other, at least right now, would be my guess. So I'll pause here for questions. And if there are none, I'll pass it back to Michelle.
Any questions from the commissioners? All right, Ms. Moratzky, you can continue.
Great. Thank you, Jaron. So at the next slide, we have a summary of our KWH sales on the electric side. You can see from the graph, you have the breakdown February, March, April, and May. Each month is a lower sales. And overall, we are about 6.3% less than 2019. And right below the table, the second table on the right side, our residential is about 2.3% less, and our commercial and industrial is 7.5% less. Keeping in mind that, of course, through this, people have been home more. You have more electricity running, charging things, more dishwashers probably going, things like that. And on the commercial and industrial side, we have fewer, you know, restaurants were closed for a while. We had some industrial places shut down. Those are all things that impact it. So looking at the revenue side, pretty much the same story, that we're about 5.5% less on revenue, and residential that 1.6% less, and commercial and industrial is about 6.9% less. Any questions on the electric?
I'm kind of a little bit surprised. You know, the residential, I was thinking it would be a little bit up since people are staying more at home, but it seems to be it's less. Why is that?
Well, I think one of the things is that, you know, the time frame we're talking, February, March, you probably still have some heat running. But as we get into April and May, a lot of that heating is going to come down, and air conditioning hasn't quite kicked in yet. Those are things that could affect that. Also, just people being more energy conscious in this day and age, and being more mindful of the things that they're running, or even their purchases when it comes to their refrigerators and their washers and dryers, they're purchasing more energy efficient equipment as well.
Yeah, Commissioner Mabua, logically thinking, you would anticipate residential consumption to be up. So really, to answer your question, we don't know, you know, what's keeping it down other than what Michelle noted. There could possibly be some of the drivers for keeping it below what you would anticipate it to be. But it's down. Long and short of it, our reports show it's down.
In 2019, didn't we have a late winter too? We had cool weather and cold, some snow and stuff all the way into April and that. So maybe that attributed to a little bit higher last year too.
You're absolutely right, Commissioner Magnuson. You know, weather is a big factor with our energy usage.
It drives it both winter and summer, but it's hard to pinpoint, you know, why we are down 1.6%. We can make a lot of assumptions, but
the fact that it is a really relatively close to zero is an interesting thing. So it isn't down by much. So I'll go ahead and start looking at the water. You know, water, of course, our water past due, we are actually higher on all of those. As I mentioned, I think in the last update, and it states it on here, although our customers are reaching out for assistance and getting more help, that can only help their electric bills. It cannot help their water, heat, or wastewater bills. And these dollars are, you know, similar to the trend we're seeing where the 90 days has a bigger spread, just like the electric does. And looking at our sales, sales of water are overall 9.7% less than in 2019. However, if you look at the second table on the right, this is where our residential use goes up 13%. And that again can be likely attributed to people being at home, having, you know, more dishes run, more cooking, more things like that, commercial and industrial. We also have, you know, the businesses that were shut down, like restaurants and other industries. Also of note is that May starts the residential and commercial lawn irrigation. So we just naturally see an increase when we get into these summer months as well. Looking at the revenue side, revenue, of course, we had our 20% rate increase from 2020, and that is giving us 14.8% higher than last year at this time. But we are about 17% short of where we expected to be based on that 20% increase. We see that, you know, with the higher water usage, we hope that that's going to catch up in the next few months. We'll see what happens there. As you can see on the bottom table on the right, the residential is about 26.4% higher and commercial industrial is 4.3% higher for revenue. Looking at this is the table that we originally presented with our potential losses for the COVID pandemic, and our disconnect fees, we are not charging those. We have not been keeping track of those, so to speak. However, our late fees, as I mentioned in the beginning, we have $89,000 that has been waived. We originally estimated $75,000 for 3 months, and we are now into a fourth month. So the longer it goes, of course, the higher that will go. Our bankruptcy losses, we have only, at this time, we have one bankruptcy received. Otherwise, we have our 90-day delinquencies about $181,000 higher than in 2019. Those are ones that could potentially be put into the bankruptcy category. And then our reduced revenue sales, there's just a summary that electric, we're about $474,000 short. And water is about $170,000 short based on that 20% rate increase. So our potential losses, we are currently at $732,000 and the estimated was about $3,025,000. And then we'll just go into a summary. This is basically another summary of the page before, just to lay it out a little bit better that had been requested by the commissioners at the last update. So our total potential financial losses, we're keeping the original estimate of $3.025 million. We have not picked up any of the projects that were delayed back in April, and that's about $2.5 million. We have a catastrophic fund balance of $3 million. The difference between what we estimate and what the delayed projects is of $572,000 would come from that. Any questions or clarifications that we can make.
Thank you, Michelle, for the report. Commissioners, any additional questions on this? I know this is a fluid situation. We continue to watch it through the remainder of the year. We hope in some instances that part of the worst might be behind us, but yet who knows what fall is yet to bring, and certainly the bankruptcies that could come out of the economic situation down the road and what that might look like. But so far, again, keeping our fingers crossed, things aren't looking as horrible as what originally was potentially projected anyway. But we've got a ways to go.
Chair Mattern, if I could circle back a little bit. With our delayed projects, and I would like to sit down with staff here in the next couple of days, looking at our retained earnings on electrical side, we delayed a number of replacement, cable replacement projects that if we continue to see our sales stabilize like they have been here in June, June and coming into July here, it's possible, unless the commission, you know, recommends not moving forward, but we would like to move forward with some of our more critical cable replacement, aged cable replacement, if we continue to see our sales and collections stay where they are. So might be more to come on that in the next month here with an update that we possibly move forward, at least with a proportion of those aged cables that we delayed here.
We will keep an ear out for additional information on that. So thank you for the heads up.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Any final items on the COVID-19 update? All right.
John?
Yes.
Oh, now I'm speaking. Have you been in touch with anybody at the state level or with the mayor regarding the monies that are being, how many millions of dollars that the county gets five and the city gets a little over 1.8, and they're not specifically talking about anything for the utilities, but is there, have you showed them why we're losing money, or have you had any discussion with them, I guess, on it?
I've talked with the city twice about the dollars they're receiving and if we have anything that would qualify. And as you noted, Commissioner Lemire, we have very little stuff that's going to qualify. But at this point, the last email I sent to the city, I think, was last week, and I haven't heard back from them yet. And I asked if there's anything that we could potentially apply for. So we're working with the city. Also, MMUA is working. Also, at the federal level, they're working to try and get some of the utilities, lost revenues and expenses covered. But at this point, there's very little appetite at federal or state level to cover any of our utility losses. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, thanks for the question.
That's a good question. Thank you for that update. Any other questions? All right, we will move into item number 6, our educational topics. The first one on the list is our budget schedule, and I will turn this over to our new finance and office services supervisor, Ms. Brecker.
Yes, so all of the distribution of the budget worksheets have been sent out to supervisors, requesting those completed by this Friday. We will review those with staff the week of July 27th, or possibly if they're done early this week. Get a little head start on that. Beth will be sending out the calendar invites for the planning committee review once that's all set. Hope to have budgets finalized by September 4th, ready for approval on September 14th. It's kind of an overview of the schedule.
Thank you for that. It's a little bit weird that we're still trying to get a handle on 2020 numbers and we're already talking about 2021, but such is the way these things go. I think, what was it, John? A couple of years back, the city kind of made some changes on when they wanted this information. So we've been, I think, the past few years getting it a little bit sooner than we had in the past.
Actually, it was the utility that needed to alter our budget schedule from the past. Once we started filing our attachment O forward-looking test year, as they call it, with MISL, we need to submit that by October 1st. So we had to move our budget schedule ahead. We used to adopt our budgets in November, but since we started following the forward-looking test year, we have to file by October 1st. So therefore, we need approval in September so that we can file our budgets with MISL.
Gotcha. Thanks for the refresher on that. All right. Any questions on the budget schedule at all? All right. Thank you again, Andrea. And the next topic is transmission investment update, and I'll turn that over to Mr. Smith.
Thanks, President Mattern. Most of you are probably familiar with the substation project we have planned for the Wilmer and Priam substations. To just refresh your memory, GRE, along with other area utilities, put together a study to make some system improvements, particularly in the Benson area, but that study recommended a couple upgrades at our Wilmer substation and Priam substation. So we've been working on what the details look like at each location, specifically at the Wilmer substation. GRE at this point is going to be responsible for all of the 115 kV facilities. They will also be responsible for purchasing the additional land for those facilities and buying and installing a new control building to house the new controls and SCADA interface to those facilities. The estimated cost for GRE's portion at the Wilmer sub is $2.8 million. That's kind of the preliminary planning estimate. It's not the preliminary engineering design estimate that hasn't been completed yet. GRE is responsible for drafting the agreement that outlines ownership and different responsibilities of each party, so we'll hopefully be seeing that shortly for review and approval. The GRE board, once they get that engineering preliminary planning cost estimate, hopes to approve the project this summer yet, and the target in-service date is 2022. For WMU, we will be responsible for the 230 kV facilities and the 230 to 115 kV transformer. Our cost from that preliminary cost estimate is $6.5 million. But like I said, that's not the engineering design estimate yet, so that could change a little bit, but it seems like it's a pretty good number to start with. At the Priam substation, WMU is responsible for all the work out there. It's going to be 115 kV facilities that we had planned for when we built the Priam substation, so there's not a whole lot of additions. Our costs are estimated at $1.5 million. And again, I'm probably sounding like a broken record, but that's kind of the planning estimate number. That's not an engineering estimate yet. And then the in-service date will be the same as the Wilmer sub in spring of 2022. We are kind of waiting on our Priam substation portion until we know that the Wilmer substation project has been approved by GRE because we need them both to actually make the system improvements. So are there any questions on the transmission investment updates?
Jaron, thank you for that report. I know we're early on in this process, and there's going to be a lot of information to come and a lot of details and possible changes to take a look at there. Commissioners, any other questions on that update? All right. Well, we will move on to the next agenda item, and this is the approval of the AT&T lease agreement, our third amendment. And I don't see Mr. Bregelman, so Mr. Heron, I'll pass this one over to you.
And thank you, Chair Mattern. Yes, as Chair Mattern stated, this is our third amendment to our lease agreement. AT&T has been on our tower roughly 20 years, so this is the third amendment in 20 years. The key highlights here is number two, improvements. What was driving this amendment? AT&T, along with other vendors, are on the catwalk. It's a walkway that's around the lower part of the bowl of the tower. If you look up at our towers, you'll see a little platform that you can walk around the outside the towers. There's a hand railing on it, and you'll see a number of panels on there, repeaters on there. AT&T wanted to update their equipment. Our catwalks was at a point that it was not able to handle the weight of any additional equipment. And structurally, we were compromising the integrity of our structure if we would allow them to do that. So they moved up to the top. So if you ever look at the tower, you will see way at the very top of the tower, you will see additional equipment up there. So they moved their equipment up. Our lease is based on a height and number of fixtures. So that's what drove the amendment. They moved up on a tower and we needed to get them off our catwalk because of weight limitations. So as you can see by item number two here, that they built the mounting brackets on top of the tower. They paid for the tower repair. They paid for the structural engineering review, and then they moved up to the top of the tower. What does that equate to in lease? Item number three, basically their new lease for 2020 is based on their height and number of fixtures, which generates $42,000 a year, which is just a couple dollars short of a $3,000 increase for the additional height based on our formula in our lease agreement with them. So looking for the commission to approve this. Both our attorney and AT&T's attorney has reviewed, and both are recommending adoption execution of this agreement. So today we're looking for the commission to support the execution here, followed up by the tenant or AT&T, which is also known as New Singular Wireless here. So any questions?
Thank you, John. Say, with this change and with what we're looking at in terms of weight and space availability and so forth, are our towers getting pretty crowded? Do we have room for additional growth in the future if we need, or if other upgrades are needed, or how are we looking with all of that?
Excellent question, Chair Mattern. The mounting system that was built on top of the tower, we have the right, we retain the right to allow other companies up there. So we do have additional room on top yet. As far as the catwalk, as I referred to it as, the platform on the lower part of the tower, it would just depending on what type of upgrades any entity would want to make. If they want to do upgrades that require additional equipment or heavier equipment, we may or may not be able to accommodate their needs. But we possibly could push them to the top of the tower because we can accommodate their needs. It just depends on the request.
Okay, thank you. Commissioners, any additional questions on this? If not, I would be looking for a resolution for approval of the amendment.
On, is there a, this is an amendment to the agreement?
Correct. Commissioner DeBlake, this is actually the third amendment to the original agreement.
What is the terms of that agreement as far as how long is it valid for?
The original term, I don't remember what the original term is, but I believe these are running in 5-year increments. Let's see if it's noted here or if it's just in the original.
So that the 42,000 per year, that's locked into 5 years?
No, there's an escalator. There's a formula based on a CPI that gets applied to all our leases, not just AT&T, but all our leases each year. That escalator gets applied. So it's roughly a 3%, or, you know, depending on the CPI, but as a rule of thumb, it's 2 to 3% as a rule.
Okay.
I can follow up with that. We can send an email out what we have here for terms, because I'm not sure, because I know in part of our negotiations, they wanted to extend that term and we extended it. So I'll have to look that up. We'll push out an email on the, how long this third amendment goes before we have the ability to terminate it if needed.
All right, I'll be looking for a res. Oh, go ahead, Commissioner DeBlake.
The original agreement, John, was there any kind of a catastrophic event clause, if there was a catastrophic event, we not be liable for any losses to the cell carrier?
I believe we have that in the original, but I'll look that up as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
I guess that's all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I'll be looking for a resolution.
I'll introduce that resolution.
Second.
All right. We have a resolution from Commissioner DeBleek and a second from Commissioner Lahmer. Any discussion on the resolution? All right. Hearing none, Ms. Mathiasen, if you could take roll, please.
Certainly. Commissioner DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Mabu?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
Thank you.
That resolution carries. Thank you. All right, next on the agenda, we have a wind turbine repair update from Mr. Marty.
Thank you. As you can see there, we have our wind turbine repair crews here as of Monday, July 6th, last Monday. Renew Energy from Sioux Falls is here working on the blades from their inspection earlier this year. We had originally expected that they were going to take 4 to 5 days per blade, but their schedule, they've been a little bit more aggressive than their original estimate. They are actually, we had crews go out yesterday morning to move, spin the blades for the second time. So they're actually working on the third blade, started yesterday. So they're well ahead of schedule, which we're quite pleased with. We may lose a day or two this week with weather, if the wind is over 8 or 10 miles an hour, whatever it is, and then obviously rain. So, but they're making hay while the sun shines, let's put it that way, on the weekends. The additional repairs to the hub housing on turbine 3, we have all the parts secured for that, and our staff will be making that repair as soon as Renew is done. So if all goes well, we hope to get up there and start working on those late this week or early next week. So when I wrote this, I was hopeful that we'd have turbine 3 operational by the end of July, and we should be ahead of schedule there. So on a side note, as far as production, we weren't able to get the reports turned in time for the commission meeting, but just looking at preliminary reports from the month of June, when we had some issues on both turbines, even though our availability was down, there was quite a bit of wind. And we actually had a decent output month for June with that extra wind. Now, obviously, July is the month, our lowest output month, usually with wind. So this is a good time, if we're ever going to have them, to be doing maintenance on them or having them down. So I'd take questions on wind turbines if you have them. Otherwise, I'll see you in a couple of weeks with performance results.
Thank you, Kevin. A little bit of good news on those turbines. So we'll take it whenever we can get it.
Yes.
All right, commissioners, any questions on that report? If not, Kevin, I think you're taking the next one as well. Item number 9, power plant decommissioning update.
Correct. We just wanted to give you a quick update on what's happening at the plant. As of last Friday, the 10th, is when we had the last plant employees working. They worked through last week working on some projects to secure the building, obviously drain the boilers. The rental boiler headed back to Kentucky on Tuesday morning, doing that sort of work. We do have equipment in the plant that remains, the SCADA equipment and switches and those sorts of things. So that's why we worked on securing the building. We've got it to the only entrance that is available for anybody to use the plant is a key fob entrance, so we can track who goes in and out. We'll be moving forward on setting up heaters in the well room, the battery room, and the operator's room where the skate equipment is for this winter to keep those areas heated. And then we'll be moving into salvaging some tools and equipment out of the building here as we move through this summer and fall. On the note about environmental studies, Wink was here last week and finished taking samples of equipment that we were able to de-energize now that the plant is not operational. So we're looking forward to them completing their report here. We're hoping in the next few weeks, hopefully sometime in August, we can have the completed environmental studies report and some preliminary estimates on abatement and cleanup and that sort of thing, and we'll be bringing those to the commission.
All right. Does that conclude your update?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Well, we have reached an end of an era, and the power plant has gone cold. So sounds like for all things considered, it went as well as it could have. Again, I want to extend our thanks and gratitude to the staff that made that all happen, made it go as smoothly as it did, and really stuck through to the end and working together to kind of bring that to a final resolution. I know that power plant has been in the community for generations, and in some sense, it's sad to see where it is, but this is the nature of where we are today. So anyway, we wish the best for all the power plant employees. I know just about all of them, it sounds like, if not all of them, have been able to find employment or find other opportunities. And so we wish the best for each of them as well. All right, commissioners, any questions on the update there?
Nope.
All right, moving on to agenda item number 10, an update on our financial signatories. General Manager Heron.
Thank you, Chair Matter. We have, as we noted at the beginning of the meeting, we have Andrea on board now as our Finance and Office Services Supervisor, and we need to update all our financial signatories, and we need resolutions to do that. So we're just looking for the commission by resolution authorizing Andrea to be on those signatories.
I'll make that motion.
I've got a motion from Commissioner Lammer. Do I have a second?
I second that, Zach.
And a second from Commissioner Maboob. Any questions on the resolution? Hearing none, Ms. Mathiason, if you could take roll.
Hi. Commissioner Magnuson?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Lammer?
Aye.
Maboob?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek.
Aye.
Thank you.
That resolution carries. Thank you. All right. We are now on to the general manager's report, Mr. Heron.
Thank you, Commissioner Matter. Budget, as Andrea noted, we have budget meetings coming up with the planning committee. That's not noted, but Beth will be sending out calendar invites for that. So please watch for that if you're on a planning committee meeting. And it'll be like last year, we'll review each department, each division independently and talk through both the capital and the O&Ms and answer any questions that the commission may have and or do additional research to answer questions. Then in addition to that, we have our summer conference. MMOA is moving forward. It's going to be a virtual conference. It's August 25th and 26th. The agenda Beth pushed out, so if you haven't had a chance to look at it, please take a look at it. If you're able to attend, being that it's a virtual conference, it might be a little easier for everyone to attend. At least the first day, a number of speakers are noted here, so take a look at it. If you're interested in it, let Beth know. She'll sign you up. Second day is purely the business meeting when we go through and elect new officers and approve budgets, things of that nature. So if you have time, let Beth know. That would conclude my update, unless there's any additional questions.
Thank you, John. Say, a question on the summer virtual conference. Have you heard any details? If somebody signs up, can they kind of come and go as they please? Do they need to sign up for specific topics on that first day, or how that's really going to be handled at all?
It's going to be virtual, so I believe you can come and go as you need to. You'll be, at your office or home, wherever you're taking part in it. And, the only agenda item they have here is this first one. But when you look at the schedule, it runs all the way from 8 to 4. So I'm not sure what the additional topics are, but Beth can reach out to MMUA to see what their agenda itinerary looks like. And we can push that out. That might help the commissioners make a decision whether they want to register for the entire event or not.
Thank you. I know in the past with some of these events, it's not always practical for some of us to get away and actually attend them if they're over a couple of days in particular or at a distance. And having this virtual opportunity might make sense for some of you who have not been able to attend these in the past to potentially be able to participate. So I would encourage at least taking a look at that. All right. Anything else on the general manager's report? No questions here. Anything else to come before the commission today then? If not, I'd look for a motion to adjourn.
Commission matter, and what I have open, if you're following on your iPads, is our original. And it looks like there's two, in addition to the original terms, it looks like there's two additional five-year renewal periods, which gives us 25 years from the original date. And this was entered into, here's the 15 original, so two, so it's 25 years is what they have from the date here of November 16th of 2001. So the original term and their extended leases here are going to be sunsetting here soon. And I'd have to look through the other amendments to see if any of them if the extensions were amended in the amendment 1 and 2. So I'll look that up and we'll get that out to you.
Thank you, John.
As well as the other question about the catastrophic event. So, all right. Thank you. That was it.
All right. At this time, I declare this meeting adjourned. Thank you, everyone.